In John 18:36, in way of introduction, Christ is talking to Pilate, or Pilate is talking to Christ. And Pilate asks this question. He says, "Are you a king then?" And Christ answers with this verse. Jesus answers, it says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." You know, we're going to talk about striving tonight. And we're going to talk about this word for fight. You know, we are God's servants. We are citizens of the kingdom. We just haven't appropriated our residence yet. But the issue is we should fight. I encouraged by the songs tonight. The banner of the cross, the fight is on. It is a spiritual warfare. And as we go through these last days, we're going to see more and more. And my question to you tonight, if you are a servant for God, you must fight. You must fight for things that are not seen. You must fight against wicked. We must fight against wickedness in high places. We must tell others about Christ before it's eternally too late. Now take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to be looking at striving. And all these verses tonight and all these things tonight have to do with the same word. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, the passage says this. It says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." What things? Well, you could go and read the first part of the verse and see all the things that we're supposed to avoid. They should not have any part in the Christian's life. You know, the issue is that if the Christians did the right things, we wouldn't do the wrong things. If we kept our focus on God, we wouldn't have the focus on the world. Our service is not to the world. Our service is to our Savior. And it says, "But thou, O man of God," we are all men and women of God. It says, "Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Keep on coming back to this. We should have fruit that other people should see. We should confess Christ before men. Because if you're ashamed to confess, you don't confess Christ before men, he says, "I'm not going to confess you before my Father in heaven." That's scripture. That's scripture. Verse 13, he says, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." We just read a piece of that. "That thou keep this commandment without spot." Now, what is this commandment? It's the entire Word of God. I was talking to my neighbor this week, and she's in a ministry school, and she has to write a paper on the infallibility of God's Word. And the issue is that we have... God's Word is everything in this book. We can't pick and choose. It all is true. And we have to live it as it's true. And you know, sometimes I think a lot of us fall away and we act as if we don't believe this. If we truly believed about God's judgment and about upsetting Him, we would sin less. If we truly believed about a lost and dying world, we would witness more. We would do things. We would do things out of our love for God because of His grace. It says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls us home. We don't retire. We don't retire. We don't give up. We fight until the end. Looking unto Jesus, the what? The author and finisher of our faith. So tonight I want to look at four points about striving. Now, before we go there, you saw that this word there, the fight, the good fight, that's the word. It's the same fight that we found in John 18:36. And it talks for agonizomai. Ah. Does that look familiar?
Agony.
Our word agony comes from this word. And agony means to fight. Now, there are four different meanings that we'll look at tonight. The first one is to contend with adversaries or to fight. That's what we find in John chapter 18, verse 36, where he says, "My servants will come and what? Fight." We are warring a spiritual warfare. And one day we will come back with him and we'll set everything straight. Or Christ will set everything straight and we'll be along for the ride. And we'll rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So the first meaning of this is to contend with adversaries or to actually be in a conflict. The second one is to endeavor with strenuous zeal. Now, strenuous, that you got to work at it. That's something you just don't kind of, I'll just get around to it. That means that you're involved and it's hard work. So this word for fight means to endeavor or to purpose in your heart that we're going to work with a strenuous zeal. Now, what's zeal? It's basically an attitude that you've got to do this. It says to strive for what? To obtain something. We have an inheritance. We should strive as if we already possess it. The third is a metaphor. Is basically to contend or to struggle with difficulties and dangers that are antagonistic to the gospel. And we see that today. And as we get closer and closer to the tribulation period, as we get closer and closer to the rapture, we get closer and closer to Christ's second coming, we're going to see that the love of many will wax cold. We'll see that people will call evil good and punish good and call it evil. And people don't want to hear anything about this. And that's where we are today in our society. And then the last one is what the Greeks, thought about. They always thought about games, okay? And it says to enter a contest and then to contend or to compete as in a gymnastic or in a running game. And that's basically to put out all your effort in order to what? Win. In order to win. So we're going to look at this. This word can be called striving or fighting or laboring. And so we'll see that tonight. So what should the Christian strive for when we're in this fight? We should strive in prayer. We should strive in prayer. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Epaphras. Now we studied the book of Colossians. And we know that Epaphras was one of Paul's companions. He was a pastor. He was sent from them to help Paul. And now Paul's sending him back. He says, "Who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always." And here's the word. Here's that Greek word. "Laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." We should strive in prayer. Why? Well, first of all, we should strive as a servant of Christ. That's who Epaphras was. He was a servant of Christ. He was one of them. He was going to go back. Paul never went to Colossae, but he sent a servant back who was one of them and kept and ministered in that church. We need to pray. Now, the issue is we have to act like a servant of Christ. In Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." All through the Old Testament prophets, we have God's chosen people thinking just because of their heritage, God was going to answer their prayer. No, you need to serve Him. If you don't serve Him, how do you on earth you expect Him to bless you? If you're doing the opposite thing. He says, "If I regret iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." When we strive in prayer, we must strive from the position of being a servant of Christ. Secondly, when we strive in prayer, we need to strive in prayer for others. It's not about bless me, Lord. It's about God and His church and the gospel. That's what Paul prayed for. James 5:16. We studied the book of James. And in this verse it says this: confess your faults one to another and what? Pray for one another that ye may be healed. We need a lot of healing today. The world is sick. Society is sick. And we need to pray for that. We've been praying. We have prayer requests tonight for that. And then it says that the effectual fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man does what? Avails much or has a lot of impact. So in order to strive for prayer, you need to be an active servant of Christ. To be a striver in prayer, we need to pray for others and just not for yourself. And then lastly, we need to pray for the will of God to be accomplished. See, in the verse it says, he prays for all of them back in the church. So here's a member of the church of Colossae praying for other members at the church of Colossae that they would be what? Perfect and complete in all the will of God. Folks, we should work in the will of God. We should strive for the will of God. And God and Christ model prayer. He says this, Matthew 6, verse 10. It says, "Thy kingdom come." Are you expecting the kingdom?
Amen.
Not just looking for it, working for it. Or when Christ comes back and He calls us home, will you be surprised? Will you be embarrassed? "Thy kingdom come, thy what? Will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know, in order for God's will to be done, His people need to do the Word of God. The Bible says if you ask anything according to my will, it'll be done. It'll be accomplished. If you ask anything in my name, it'll be done. Yesterday we talked about if ye abide in me and my words abide in me, you can ask what you will and it shall be what? Done unto you. John 15:7. So the issue is, are we striving in prayer? Are we even praying? It's more than the corporate prayer that we do here on service time. We need to pray and go in the closet and pray and get ourselves a part to God and pray for these things. Is this the only time we'll pray for these requests, or we pray for them daily? That's why we put prayer requests in the bulletin. That's why we write all the, so we can continue prayer. That's why we take prayer requests to the prayer meeting. So at the men's prayer meeting and the ladies' prayer meeting, so the next month we can see what's been answered. We need to strive in prayer. As a servant of Christ, we need to strive in prayer for others. We need to strive in prayer for the will of God. Secondly, we need to strive in conflict. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I have fought a good fight. Now, the thought here is he has waged war against all those that are antagonistic against the gospel. That's been Paul's ministry sick. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. See, there's several things in here. The first thing is when we're striving in conflict, we got to believe what we're striving for. We got to have conviction that I'm going to live the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast. James says, we can't be double-minded. Christ called out the hypocrites all the time. He's here knocking on your door tonight and says, is there hypocrisy in your life? Get rid of it. We need to serve God with conviction. Yeah, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. What? Unmovable. Always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye what? Know that your labor is not in vain of the Lord. Folks, the problem with the disciples was unbelief. And if our prayer life is something that we pray these things, and back in the back of our mind we say, this is not going to happen. Guess what? It won't. You know why? Because your unbelief is a hindrance. The same thing we pray for spiritual victory. We pray that things will happen and that God's will be done. But if we don't believe it ourselves and we don't live it ourselves, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we need to strive in conflict with conviction. We need to strive in conflict to completion. See, Epaphras said he wanted them to be complete, perfect and complete in the will of God. What does that mean? That means to be finished and to do everything that God wants you to do. I hardly think anyone in here has done everything that God wants you to do so far. There is so much more for us to do. So much more for us to do. And we need to do it to completion. He says, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Can that be the same for you? And that's a daily thing. So we need to be striving in conflict with conviction. We need to be striving in conflict to completion. We need to be striving in conflict with confidence that, and also faith that what we're striving for is worth it. You know, that's another reason we fail and we give up. Because in the initial part, we don't think it's worth it. We don't think it's worth the effort. We don't think it's worth the time. We don't think it's worth the result. Who are we to say what's worth it or not in spiritual realms? We're not at all. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes to the church, he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work, he began that good work with salvation. He's created us in Christ Jesus unto good works. He commanded the crowd, let your light so shine before men that they would see your what? Good works. And if you're not doing good works, you're out of the will of God. So how on earth can you pray to God if you're out of the will of God? How on earth can you do anything spiritually significant if you're out of the will of God? It doesn't work that way. We're supposed to be the salt and light of the earth. We're supposed to be salt. And if the salt has lost its favor, it's what? Savor is what? Good for nothing. So are we good for something? Or are we good for nothing? Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Folks, we need to fight as if Christ is right here with us. And he is. He is. Until the day of Jesus Christ. So we need to strive in what first? Prayer. We need to strive in what second? In spiritual conflict. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. Thirdly, we need to strive in ministry. This is the third one, okay? Basically, or the second one is if you're going to accomplish something. See, if you start doing something, you have no goal, you have no focus, you have no end result. It's worthless. You don't go to school just to go to school. You go to school to learn tools that you can apply in your life. You don't come to church just to come to church. You come to church to be edified and built up so you can go out and serve and minister. Because we are all called to be ministers of reconciliation. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily." See, there's several considerations in this verse too. The first one is, it's a cooperative effort. If he says, I also labor, that means that there's other people out there laboring too. And we know that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. What kind of a link are you? What kind of a servant are you? Are you furthering the ministry of the church? Are we striving together? Are we pulling together? Christ asked us to take what? His yoke upon us. And He wants us to pull along with Him and with other Christians and other believers so things can get done. It's a cooperative effort. It's a considerate effort. He says, striving according to what? His work. God, what do you want me to do? Not what you think God wants you to do. It's what God tells you to do. How does He talk? He talks through the Word. He talks through preaching. He talks through the testimonies of others. As we talked about this morning. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, it says this, "Whereof I was what? Made a minister." You're a minister! No, I'm not. That's left for the preacher. No! We're all ministers. Right. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the" what? "Gift of the grace of God given unto me." I have a secret. Well, I know what the secret is. The moment you got saved, every one of you got at least one spiritual gift. Have you opened it up? Have you used it? We probably have presents in our house of things that we got from relatives or somebody else, and it's just sitting on the shelf. It's never been opened. Took my wife months and years sometimes to use some of the kitchen gadgets she's got. You know something? If we don't use what God's given us, we're not a minister. Because He's given us everything that pertains to what? Life and godliness. He says, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the what? Effectual working of what? His power. See, the only thing that limits God's power in your life is you. Let me repeat that. The only thing that limits God's power in your life is you. It is a cooperative effort. The thing that limits the ability of this church to go forward is our level of belief and faith. And if we're not all in lockstep and all in unity, we're not going to accomplish the thing that God wants us to do for this church. It's a cooperative effort. It's a considerate effort. We need to understand that God's given us everything we need. We just have to use it. And then it's a conscious effort. It's a conscious effort. It says, "Worketh in me mightily." See, How many of you tried to do ministry in your own strength and failed? Yep, my hand's up. Failed miserably. You know why? Because the power of God wasn't there. Doing it for the wrong motivation. But Paul realized this. And he says, I see when I surrender to God and I let God work in my life, I see God working and doing things that I never thought possible. Here's a guy who thought he had it all. He was a Pharisee. He was an Israelite. He was a Roman citizen. He's a free-born citizen. He was up in the high, he was under one of the greatest scholars of that time. And you know what he said? He said, all those things are dung. All those things are worthless. And he says, I strive and I press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a conscious effort. You got to think about what you do. When you go to work, do you think about what you're doing at work? I hope you do. When you come to church, do you think about why you're here? When you're reading your Bible, do you think about what God could say to you? Are you receptive to that? He's knocking. He's knocking. It's a conscious effort. So it needs to be striving in prayer, striving in conflict, striving in ministry, and lastly, striving in running. In running. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth," this is the use of the word as part of a contest or a race. He says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." You know, I got a question. We, growing up, strive to be the best. Try to do our best in school. Try to do our best in sports. Try to do that. Why don't we have the same attitude with God? Ouch. We strive for the mastery of things to do your best. Because we know if you do your best, you're not a what? Failure. He said, and every man that strives for the mastery is what? Temperate in all. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Temperate in how many things? There's that word. All things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. See? We need to be striving in the going. Striving in the going. In verses 26 and 27, that just follows this, it says there, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly, because it's a conscious effort. He's doing it with consideration for why he's doing it. He's doing it as a servant of God, because he's doing all things for the glory of him. So fight I, not as what? Beats the air. Okay? You can shadow box all you want. But the moment you get in a ring with a real adversary and you get whacked the first time, hey, this is real. It is real. We have to strive for this. And it says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Folks, I want to challenge you tonight. There are people that have habits that they should get rid of, and they know it's not pleasing to God. And say, I just can't help it. Then you don't serve a mighty God. You're saying the God of creation, who made heaven and earth and made you, can't fix the problem that you're having with a habit? Then you're not running the race well. You're carrying along all this other baggage. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, laying aside what? Every weight and the what? Sin that so easily beset us, and run with patience the race. Oh, we want to run real quick. I'm not done yet. I mean, there's more there. Yes, it's called striving. It's called striving. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or a hypocrite. See, we need to strive in prayer. Christ did. He agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane, and his sweat ran out as drops of blood. We need to strive in conflict. He did. He told people exactly what the truth was. We need to strive. We need to strive in ministry. He did. Even when his disciples didn't want him to wash their feet, he did. Even when his disciples weren't listening, he did. And someone looks at us crossways and we give up. Christ did. And Christ finished his course. We're all evidence of that tonight by being here. I'm so glad for the grace of God. I'm so glad for His Son. The goal. What is the goal? The kingdom of heaven. We've acquired it through the gift of God. We need to proclaim it to a lost and dying world. Christ did. What are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? Are we striving? Are we striving in these areas tonight? Only you know the answer to that. If you're not, why not? And if you're not, fix it tonight. The Bible says that we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. You got something you need God to get rid of in your life? Bring it to the altar tonight and say, God, from this point forward, by your grace, I'm not going to do this anymore. We need to get to that point. That's how revival happens. It's not just lip service. It's a change in our lives. It's a change in our life. It'll be a change in our church. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, help us to strive for you and not strive against you. Lord, I pray this. We all know you tonight. Lord, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight, in the very first verse of invitation, they come forward, we'll show them from God's Word how they could be saved. Lord, for us as Christians, help us to mean business for you, Lord, and not just do lip service. Father, there's too much of that in the world today. Father, help us, Lord, to surrender our all to you. We give you full reign tonight, Father. We don't hold anything back. In our lives and in our church. Send revival. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.